Our lesson today is found in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the 16th chapter, where we have the conversion of Lydia and the conversion of the jailer. We find that in the beginning of this chapter, Paul has a different companion. He had Barnabas as his companion on his first journey, and he had went up to Jerusalem, and at Jerusalem the apostles had heard of the wonders and the miracles that had been performed by Barnabas and Paul in their missionary journey. And the question arose whether these Gentiles should be circumcised and should keep the ceremonial law. But they held a synod meeting and decided that the Gentiles need not be circumcised, but that they should abstain from idol worship and from fornication, and likewise from that which was strangled, and likewise from blood. They were permitted then to worship God without being circumcised and without keeping that burden which the Jewish people had upon their shoulders from the time that Moses had given them the ceremonial law. And these men who had been up to Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas, they returned with two other men. And these two men were called Judas and Silas, two able ministers of the gospel, well reported of from Jerusalem, and they were sent with these decrees to Antioch. So that when Paul and Barnabas came back to Antioch, they had these two men with them. They are called prophets in this chapter. They were gifted men, well spoken of at Jerusalem, able to minister. And now they abided in this city called Antioch. This seemed to have been a wonderful city which was blessed by God with so many Christians in this city, that there was so much work, not only just for Paul and Barnabas, but for other men, even these two men that had been sent with them from Jerusalem. And now while they were there, Paul says to Barnabas, let us return to the churches that we have established, and let us see our brethren, how they do. And Barnabas, he asked to take with him his nephew, called John, surnamed Mark. But Paul thought it not right to take him with them, who had went with them at the beginning, but at Pamphylia he had returned back. He did not go with them to the work. Paul thought it was not right to take him with them. Whether this man, John Mark, was lazy or whether he had no desire, he was afraid of his life, that he was a coward, so that's why he returned. And now we find that when Barnabas wanted to take him along this time, Paul says no. And now the contention between these two men was so sharp that they parted asunder. This isn't a very good thing for two Christian apostles to have such a contention and to depart asunder. They had went through much, these two men. They had suffered much persecution in their first journey, and none of the persecutions of the Jews had separated them. But now, just because this man Barnabas wanted to take his nephew with him and Paul wouldn't consent, they remained so stiff they wouldn't agree. They kept their own opinions, and therefore they separated. This, of course, was in the providence of God, for even in this, where there was nothing of the Spirit of God in it, still it was a blessing. For this reason, that Barnabas took his nephew with him and went to Cyprus to preach the gospel. And we find that Paul, he chose this man, Silas, to be his companion. Paul and Silas, they departed likewise unto the churches that Paul had established with Barnabas. But we read that the church at Antioch commended Paul and Silas to the journey that they were going to, and that the grace of God would be with them. We don't read that of Barnabas and of Mark. We don't read anything more of Barnabas and Mark, what happened to them when they went and began to preach. The Spirit of God gives us the journey that Paul took with Silas. And we find that Paul and Silas came to Derbe, and they came to Lystra and Iconium, three places that they had been before. Silas had not been there with them. But when they came there, they found a certain disciple by the name of Timothy, a young man, a brilliant young man, and a man that it appears feared God. His mother was a Jewish, but his father was a Greek. And now this young man, he attracted Paul's attention. He seen in him that the grace of God was in his soul. The commentary thinks that he was converted under the first missionary journey of Paul when he stopped in Lystra. The Bible doesn't say this, but they believe that he was blessed under the ministry of Paul at that time. And now Paul, seeing this able young man, an earnest man, a serious young man, an upright man, and not only that, he was of well reputation throughout the regions of these three places. Everybody knew him, but he was not circumcised because his father was a Greek. He was not permitted to this, what we would say was something that every Jewish person had to have, that is, the males. Unless when he grew older, he wanted to have it done himself. But now Paul had returned from Jerusalem, and he had these degrees in his pocket. He was taking these to the churches, delivering them. And in these degrees, it was not necessary that the Gentiles be circumcised. But we find that Paul took him and circumcised him. Why did he circumcise him? Why didn't he trust in God and say, well, if God's going to use this Timothy, he needed to be circumcised. But we find that around this area, there were so many Jews, and as I said, this young man was well reported of. He had a good reputation. And Paul thought that by circumcising him, there would be no blame laid upon him. The Jews could not say, well, he's not circumcised. He's an unclean person. He's a Gentile. We don't have to listen to him. But he thought by circumcising him, then his ministry and what he spake would find an ingoing path by these Jews. So in wisdom, Paul circumcised him, so that he would be acceptable unto the Jewish people. I wish that we had some Timothys amongst us, able young men, upon whom God had laid his grace, and that we could see it in all their deportment, that they were well reported of, had a good reputation. It'd be a mercy if God would raise up such young men even out of our midst. And this young man, Paul wanted to take with him. So he went with Paul. And Paul went from one place to another, delivering these degrees that he had received at Jerusalem. And the churches were established in the faith, and they increased in number daily. God was blessing this area by raising up many churches. And we find that this Apostle Paul was under the immediate direction of the Holy Spirit. Wherever he went, the Spirit instructed him to go there. Now, when you read this in the beginning, you find that he wasn't allowed to go to this place. The Spirit forbid him to go there. Then he wasn't allowed to go to this city. The Spirit would not allow him to speak there. After a while, he went to these places, and the ministry was blessed. But at this particular time, the Spirit refused to allow him to speak in these cities. And when he came to a certain place called Troas, there at night, we find that Paul had a vision. And in this vision, he seen a man of Macedonia, plain man. And this man, he begged or prayed Paul to come over and help us. You know, Paul, he had many visions. Not just one or two, but we have any number of them in the chapters that you find in the book of the Acts. A vision God gave to instruct the people that he gave it to what they should do. Sometimes they were for comfort, sometimes they were for, as he got one now, to where he should go. This man stood praying to Paul, come over and help us. He had such a serious look on his face, such an earnest look on his face. It was as if he said, we in Macedonia, we need you. You've been so helpful to other sinners, and you've been so blessed by God. We need your ministry. Come over and minister unto us. For we are in the same condition as those to whom you have been ministering. We need your work here. Now Paul, when he seen this vision, he was assured that God wanted him to go to Macedonia. This is a great blessing. When God wants to use us as a minister or an elder or a deacon, and he gives us by his blessed word and spirit to believe this, this is a great encouragement for us to go on in our work amidst so much discouragement. So it was for this man, Paul. What a mercy it was for him that he had this assurance that he wasn't just going on his own, but he was going because the Lord wanted him to go. Now this man, Paul, he immediately made preparations to go to Macedonia. Macedonia was the first place where the gospel was preached in Europe. Before this, it was in Asia. But now this was in Europe. So he got into a ship, and he sailed from Troas with a straight course, the Bible says, to Samothracia. From Samothracia, they came to another town in Neapolis, and then from Neapolis they came to the city of Philippi, which was the most prominent city in a colony in Macedonia. This journey that Paul took was by the direction of God. Now you know when Peter was on the top of a house and he had a trance, he fell into a trance and he saw a vision. Then he was instructed to go to the house of Cornelius, who likewise was a Gentile, for Cornelius had sent messengers to him. And when this man, Peter, came to the home of Cornelius, he was welcomed joyfully by Peter. He fell down to worship him. But by such a plain and a particular call as Paul had, you would think that there would be somebody waiting for him over there in Macedonia because God had called him to go there. But when he got there, there was nobody there. He had to take refuge to a public house. He had to pay to stay there. And they were there abiding a certain number of days. And now while they were there, they must have found out that there was a place where some women gathered together on the Sabbath day who worshiped God. This is a great blessing that even in this particular city of Philippi, there were some that worshiped God. Most of the people worshiped idols. But these women, they resorted to the riverside
near on the Sabbath day, they worshiped God. They didn't have any synagogues, they didn't have any churches to go to, but they went to this particular area, and there they prayed. They called upon the name of the Lord. This is what they called worshiping God in those days. And now when Paul heard of this on the Sabbath day, he went to this place. It's a great blessing, my hearers, when we don't have no church, when we have no place to gather publicly, that we still have a desire and a longing to worship God, and that we want to abide by his commandments and do as he speaks to us in his word. These women, no men by it, just women, they went to this riverside, and there they prayed together. This is a good thing to do, my hearers, to get together and to pray. In this particular meeting, in all probabilities, they had no leader, but the commentary says one would pray, then another one would pray. And this is the way that they worship God. And now this woman by the name of Lydia, she was a woman of Thyatira. She was a woman that sold purple. So this was her employment. This was her business. She had been born in Thyatira, a long ways away from Philippi. But business had brought her down to this particular city, and probably she was married, and she made this city her residence. And she was a worshiper of God. She was a devout woman, and she went to this meeting at the riverside, where all these women resorted to that wanted to worship God. Well, this teaches us that the providence of God is over each and every one of our lives. The providence of God brought Lydia down to Philippi under the ministry of Paul. We don't know sometimes why that we have to do this. Sometimes the providence of God is over being married. There may be a young man or a young woman, don't care one bit about religion. They meet someone that worships God. They're joined in marriage to this person. They're brought under the means of grace. Sometimes this person that never had anything to do with religion is the one that God has his eye upon. He brings him by his providence in this particular place so that his purpose of grace and of salvation will be fulfilled in that person. Sometimes it happens by the providence of God that a person is moved from one city to another by his employment. And coming to that city, they meet someone that someone asks, come along with us to church. They consent. It's just the time. It's just the sermon that God uses for such. Or if you should ask some of the people of God, and they should explain to you the leadings of how that they were brought under the grace of God, you would hear something like this, what I'm trying to explain to you. They had nothing to do with it. Nothing whatsoever. They never sought it. But it was God, by his providence, that brought them to the means, or brought the means to them. So Lydia, she's down in the city of Philippi. She was a seller of purple. Either it was purple dye that they used to dye things with, or otherwise it was some cloth or silk that was colored purple that she sold. She had a lawful employment. She sold to people so that she made a livelihood thereby. But she not only labored in this respect, but she found time to worship God. This teaches us, whatever
lawful employment we may have, we should not forget God in our employment even. We should carry our religion with us. And it should be seen that we are worshipers of God. Now, just to be a worshiper of God is not enough. This is what Lydia was. She came to the place where they worship God. And who knows how many times she had come there, just like some of you's come, pay no attention. Maybe her mind was floating with all sorts of thoughts about her business. Maybe she was busy with her family. Maybe she was busy with her husband. It doesn't say that she had a husband, but it appears that she had a family and that she lived in this particular city of Philippi. Oh, my hearers, I wish you would believe me that the devil is present here with us. Wherever the truth of God is being proclaimed, there the devil is. And the devil is aiming to direct the attention of every one of us away from what is being spoken to or spoken of. Sometimes the devil takes our minds and leads us, sometimes I'll say, to count the people that are here, just so you won't listen. You ever have the devil tell you how many pipes there are up in that organ up there? You ever sit there and try to count them? You weren't listening to what was being taught, no. This is the truth. This happens. Anything to get the minds away from the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is the way God uses to convert sinners. Oh, how many poor sinners, even in my Bible class, they come and they just sit with their eyes shut and they sleep. Pay no attention whatsoever to the Word of God. There's a day coming when you have to give an answer for what you have been doing under the Word of God. Believe me, I know we are weak, we are sinful creatures, we are flesh. We fall asleep very easy, especially when the subject isn't interesting. Especially when we have somebody that can't keep us interested. That's a gift to be that way. I'm not gifted that way, probably, but anyway, I do try to get your attention, my friends. And the devil, he tries to get your attention, too, the opposite way. So it was probably with Lydia. How many times hadn't she come to this place to pray? And nothing ever happened to her. So it has been with you, right? How many would have to verify that nothing ever happened to you while you were under the truth? But now it was the time of God for Lydia. She came this particular Sabbath morning to this place, and lo and behold, there comes Paul with Silas and with Luke. Luke is the writer of this particular book of the Acts. He was with them on their journeys. And when these women gathered together, we find that Paul and Silas and Luke sat down with them and spake unto them. And now, it does not say that this was the first time that Paul and Silas was at this meeting. It doesn't say this. How long they had been in this city of Philippi, we do not know either. It was quite a while before anything took place, before anything was taken notice of, that these men were servants of the Most High God. But this time, the Lord was present at this meeting. Oh, dear Bible class, before you come here, ask God to be present with us. He was present at this time with this group of people. He was present with his servants who were there. And we read so distinctly that she heard us. How many of you have heard me? How many years have you been listening to me? May I ask, have you ever heard God speak to you? If ever you hear God speak to you, you won't hear John speaking to you, but you hear him. The minister, whoever it may be that is speaking, falls away. She heard us, it says, but she also heard a voice in this voice that she was listening to, that she had never heard before, never. Whose heart the Lord opened, it says. that she attended unto the words that were spoken of by Paul. But this is where God begins, my hearers. No one can open their own hearts, no. Our hearts by nature are debarred. There's fortifications in our hearts against God, against His Word. We have the devil inside of our hearts. It's a terrible thing to say, but it's true, believe me. You read so in the Bible. He's a strong man armed. He keeps this palace of our hearts in peace. And he does this, as I've been trying to teach you, by directing your thoughts away from the Word. If he only can get your attention away from it. He keeps this place in peace. Oh, you're satisfied with the world. You're satisfied with sin, with the pleasures that you're living in. You don't want nothing of God. He's the last thing that you're thinking about. This is us by nature. And now, for God to enter into this heart, my hearers, there's an almighty power necessary. And this power is in this Word. It doesn't take much when God gets into it. This is what happened to Lydia. She heard us, and the Lord opened her heart. You read so in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, that the Lord is knocking on the door. How few have had this knocking come home with power divine. How long has the Lord been knocking on the door of your heart, my hearers? How long have you been resisting Him? I am sure you can't resist Him when His time is there. But this is the way we are by nature. We are enemies of God. We don't want God. We don't want to serve Him. We don't want to love Him. We don't want to fear Him. But when God wants us, then He comes in and He overpowers the devil in our hearts. He breaks down this fortification, this strong armor that the devil has. He breaks it right down. He's almighty, my hearers. Oh, pray that He'll come into your hearts. Pray, my hearers. It's necessary. Shall you ever be born again? Pray that He may come in and break down your enmity, break down your powerful resistance of sin, of the world, and of the flesh, the things that you love. This is the armor that we have. This must be broken down. This is what Jesus does when He comes into the heart of a sinner. He overpowers the strong man armed. He's the only one that can do that. You can't do it. You may set everything to work to do it, but it will not be done. But when He does it, my hearers, it's to His honor and it's to His glory. Conversion work is heart work. It's the work of God only. He is to be glorified in this work. And when He comes into the heart, oh, what a change takes place. The first thing that He does, He lets down light into that darkened soul, that darkened heart of ours. A light which shows unto us just what we are, what we have become, what we have been doing. Oh, the sin, the iniquity that is then revealed. Oh, my hearers, sometimes it makes a sinner just sit still, thinking he'll sink right into hell. Maybe there's someone sitting here that had that. They didn't dare even get up off their seat when the Lord comes with His light into the heart of a sinner and reveals unto that sinner what he has been doing against God. Then they fear they perish where they are. But it isn't to perish. It isn't that God wants to slay a sinner. Oh, no, my hearers. It's a purpose of salvation towards that particular sinner. Lydia's heart was open. God takes various ways, and in various means, He does this. By some, it's very sharp. It's very severe. It's very threatening. By others, He opens the heart by love, by mercy, by pity, by compassion. At the same time, He reveals to that person what he is, what he has become. So it was with Lydia. She heard as she'd never heard before. You ever hear that, Wayne? Did you ever come to church? You never expected anything. And all of a sudden, your ears were open, your heart was open, and you heard as you never heard before. This is the way God does it, my hearers. There is God's voice in the preaching, in the reading. It may be that you're under the ministry. It may be while you're reading the Bible. It may be while you're talking to somebody. And that somebody may say something, and God takes you the word and brings it home, and it strikes. It takes effect. The person can't get rid of it. Oh, how wonderful are the works of God in Greece. Wonderful, my hearers. So it was a wonder to this Lydia that her heart was opened, and immediately she attended unto the words that were spoken by the Apostle Paul. This teaches us that is what God does. The gospel, the word of God, all that becomes so precious. It becomes the one thing that we want, the one thing that we go after. Oh, we can't get enough of it when God begins. Then we would sit up to midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, reading the Bible, reading something which would edify our souls. We wish there was church every day. Oh, and when we don't have church every day, then we're home. We're busy reading. We're busy reading the Bible, praying over the Bible, praying whether God has begun this work in us. You remember that time when you were that way? What a blessed time it was, you say. I wish it was that way now. It doesn't remain, that's true. But there are different times that God again and again opens the heart. Not just at the first, but again and again it must take place, because our hearts are shut, and he only has access to them. And he uses his precious word for this. And Lydia, she received the word as the word of the living God. She attended unto it. She believed it. She accepted it. What Paul was preaching, it does not say. But you may be sure he was exalting Jesus Christ. He was lifting him up as the only way of salvation. And this woman, she was given an open heart to receive this and to believe it. And we find that after this had taken place, and I'm sure if this takes place in any one of your hearts, by the instrumentality of a man used by God, you'll love that person. You can't do anything else but love that person. There's band played there immediately. So it was with her. She immediately loved this man, Paul, who had been speaking to her. She loved him for the Lord's sake. She loved him for the word had come to her heart from the Lord. And now she invited him to stay at her house. She must have been a pretty wealthy woman. She must have had room for them. Affluent circumstances she was in, this commentary says. So they accepted her invitation. Or she entreated them to stay with them. Abide with me, she says. So they went in and stayed there. Oh, how wonderful it is, my hearers. Then you have love to that minister, to that person, and you have love to God and love to his people and love to his word. Then your house, likewise, would be open to receive those who you never wanted to have anything to do with. You didn't want to bother with them kind of people. You wanted the world. You wanted the pleasures thereof. You wanted companions that were just like you. But now when God gives you a new heart, puts a new life in it, then you don't want them people no more. You can't go along with your companions that you used to go along with. You may think this is wrong, but it's true. Oh, you don't do this because you hate them. Oh, no. But their lives, their sinful lives, doesn't correspond with you. You want to live, if possible, without sin. You want to live in communion with God. And you love them whom God has sent. My time is far gone, my hearers. I hope that God may open every one of your hearts, and that you may be given to love this God, walk with him while here below, and then to be taken to be with him forever and ever. That's all.